Welcome to this week's edition of Dugout Dish Podcast. I'm Andy Kirikides, as usual, joined by my co-host, Coach Glasser. Coach, what's up?
Hey, how are you?
Good, man. Back at it again this week, and we've got some listeners who've been chiming in a little bit, which is pretty cool. One, that people are listening, and that two, they're taking enough time to send us some emails or messages on social media. So we got a message the other day from a listener who would like us to cover this topic, and I'll read it verbatim so that we don't, nothing gets lost in translation here. It said, "One topic I would love to hear covered, which I haven't seen addressed much at all, is how to handle an injury during the recruiting process in terms of communicating with coaches, implications depending on timing, type of injury. Especially interested in your guys' take on this for players who were just starting to gain some traction before the injury occurred, and what coaches' typical reaction is if they are aware of the injury." This is a good one.
Very good one.
And I think that this topic probably applies to more folks than maybe even we think. But in general, I think at some point during your recruiting process, for most young players, you're going to go through a period of time where you either don't feel good and you're going to have to play through it, or you may have to deal with a legitimate injury. And yeah, how you handle it, how you communicate it, how coaches reaction. I think there's a ton of variability here. Maybe we can try to hit on like some specific cases, but what are your thoughts on this one initially?
Yeah, I think this is a really good question, and he's right. This is not something that's covered really by anybody. And it's a pretty nuanced topic because it's going to depend on where you're at in your injury and where your body is, whether you're going to have to rehab, whether you're going to have to shut down, whether, you know, it's a 2-3 week thing, you know, what does that look like? And I think there's a lot of different factors that go into this, right? Like you're going to have, you know, if you have to shut down, what does that shutdown look like? You know, do you want second opinions? You know, and if it's dead of the summer or right after high school ball or during high school ball, like what do those types of things? Because I think, you know, some people are going to hammer the panic button if you're shut down during the summer and then try to come back too quickly, which could then, you know, make it that much worse in the long run, right? Like ultimately you want to be at your best during the summer and the fall, you know, when people are seeing you, but you also want to make sure that you're healthy in doing that, because you're not going to do yourself any service being injured, and you're going to get crossed off more lists than not if that's the case, you know, until there's a concrete thing that with what's going on. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into it that we'll unpack here, but you know, my knee-jerk reaction is, you know, he's right, it's not talked about a lot, and I think we have the insight to go into kind of how coaches deal with that during the recruiting process as well, you know, because we've dealt with it as coaches with our players, you know, so you kind of know what that looks like and what could potentially happen depending on where they're at. But also, you know, what it looks like from a recruiting standpoint when, you know, you do get emails on kids that are, you know, you liked or you don't know who they are. And it's like, hey, I blew out, or I have, you know, I got shut down for an impingement, or, you know, tendonitis, whatever that might be.
Yeah. Severity matters, and the type of injury matters, and the timing matters, not only when, but where it is in your recruiting process. And I think this is what makes this a podcast worthy topic, is that it's not cookie cutter. Like much of the things that we talk about, there's a lot of variables. There's a lot of nuance to this. There's a lot of things that need to be considered. So hopefully we can touch on at least some of the scenarios that I think might be relevant. Like the first one that comes to mind, and we'll address it because it was what was asked, was you got hurt. You're just starting to gain some traction, right? You're a 2025 August 1st deadline, you know, opens up and coaches start reaching out to you and you get hurt. What do coaches do from there? Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think the layer here that adds complexity to it is what's the type of injury and what's the timeline for your recovery, right? Because if I'm a coach, I'll speak, you can give, I want you to give your own answer, but this is how I would look at it is that if I saw you enough to call you on August 1st, I probably think you're a pretty good player, right? I've either seen you throw a sufficient amount of innings or I've seen you do some things offensively or play defense, whatever your position is. I probably think you're a pretty good player. If your injury is something that's going to take you off the board for the rest of the fall, but you're going to end up being healthy and I'm not worried about your long-term health, it may slow things down. But for me, I don't think it ruins things from a recruiting perspective unless you're at a school where the mode is we need to get our guy now, right? If you're one of four or five guys that I'm looking at for a particular position, and I'm not really looking to make an offer until I feel really good about anybody, it's probably not going to affect you that much. You just need to get healthy, communicate with the coach, make sure you know you let them work, you know, let them know how you're coming along. Now, the flip side of that is that if you're at, you know, one of these ACC or SEC schools and you have a guy that you really like and he got hurt, but there's another guy that you like equally as much, yeah, you might just move to lock up a guy, right? I think that that's a reality of it as well. I think when you're a coach and you get a little bit hesitant is if it's a long-term injury, knee injury, although, I mean, people recover from it really well. But, you know, if you, you know, I tore my ACL, like if you tear your ACL in August and I'm a coach who's seen you play really good prior to your ACL tear, I'm probably going to want to see you play after before I'm really ready to make a decision. You know, same thing with arm injuries, particularly shoulders. They're a little tricky. That could have an impact, right? Like a coach may just move away from you until you prove that you're back to where you are. But if you've gained some traction, I don't think it ever is going to completely remove you from the equation. It may set you back behind some guys and there might be a school that moves on somebody because you're not healthy. Like, is that a reality? Yeah, potentially. But that'd be my thought on kind of that 2025 scenario. You still got some time. Like, there's plenty of Division I spots that are going to be open up next summer. There's a ton of Division II, Division III, all that. Like, you're going to be really recruitable because you're pretty early in the process. So that's kind of my thought on it.
Yeah, I don't think that the, you know, you're right. It's going to depend on the severity of what that injury is. You know, and I think if you have, and this is where, you know, video comes in, you know, pretty big for the recruiting process, especially nowadays. And, you know, we've had other coaches come on and talk about, you know, being able to kind of recruit off it a little bit, is to at least have a baseline of where you were at before you got hurt, whether it's going to be, you know, positionally, you know, what you look like in the field, what your swing looks like, what, you know, if you're a pitcher, you know, if you have some video of stuff like that, it gives a baseline to that coaching staff of like, okay, yes, he's injured, but this kid would be a kid that we would be recruiting if he was healthy right now. And with the rule change, and we've talked about this a ton and you've touched on it as well, that there's no, you know, there's going to be a lot more spots open up later in the process than it has been over previous years. So, you know, they're going to, if your floor, you know, if you're above their floor before you were injured, you know, the likelihood of schools kind of waiting to kind of see what you look like, depending on the severity, are going to be pretty high. You know, but that being said, even if schools don't, and you have video where, you know, they were, you're likely going to be playing in college, you're going to be okay once you get back to being healthy, because enough schools are going to be able to see you where you're going to be able to make a decision and find the right fit for yourself. It could be a Division II or Division III school. It could still be Division I. It honestly is going to depend on where your skill set is going to fit, right? Like, you could be a Division III guy and get hurt and still end up playing Division III baseball. And same thing with Division I. You know, I think it really depends on, you know, the severity of what it is. Like, did you blow your ACL out? Like, okay, that's a little bit, you know, we're going to have to, you know, really get out and see you play next summer and make a decision on where you're at. Is it tendonitis where you're going to be out for a little bit and they, you know, they stick you with some cortisone? which I had when I played, you know, and you can get back out there in 3 weeks and be able to go throw and come to their prospect camp and be able to show what you can do. You know, and I think that, you know, in this, the other nuance part that we can kind of touch on as we go is like the difference between being injured and, you know, just being sore, things like that. Like, it's going to happen in this game. You have to be smart enough and know your body to know, like, okay, this is not normal. We need to actually have this go looked at and then assess from there. You know, because you're going to have times where you play in college and your arm hurts and your legs hurt and things like that, but you're not necessarily injured. You know, there's a little bit of a difference, and I'm never going to, you know, tell people that they should be playing hurt. You shouldn't. You should get evaluated and know where you're at. You know, but it goes back to the severity of where you're at and where they are in their recruiting process. I don't think it ever really, you know, crosses people off the list, you know, maybe at the higher levels, but for the most part, I would say, you know, 95% of college baseball, it's not going to get you crossed off a list because you're hurt.
Yeah. I mean, I think if a coach has seen a player enough to have a legitimate evaluation on him, like, it's not, I saw you one time and then you got hurt, it's probably not going to impact you that much. I think where it could be impactful is if I saw you play one game and I'm trying to go see you play again and I find out that you're hurt and I don't get to evaluate you for 6 or 7 more months, like, yeah, you're probably going to get passed over. That's the reality of it. It doesn't mean that you won't end up at that level. It doesn't mean that you won't end up playing college baseball. Like, let's not go panic mode here. Rule number one, don't panic. But that's a reality of it, is that if I haven't seen a ton of you and I'm not going to be able to see a ton of you and we're in a window where I'm trying to lock a guy up, yeah, I'm probably moving on to another guy. And that's just what has to be done. I think it gets a little tricky if you're a 24 right now. Right. And you're starting to get a little bit of traction and you're heading into the fall. You know, you got maybe a hamstring thing or your arm's barking a little bit because you're in a pressure situation because you need to be on the field to get recruited, but you also need to be healthy enough to perform. And I don't know if I have a perfect answer for that, because I think it is very much case by case. And, you know, what can you do? Can you buy yourself an extra 10 days of rest and then get to a camp? Like, that timing, I think, can be a little bit tricky because you are kind of getting down to crunch time. You know, if you can't play in that window from September 14th to October 9th because you're hurt and you're 2024, yeah, I mean, it's tough. Like, you got to have some people advocating for you. You got to hope a few things fall your way. You hope that coaches have seen you enough and like you enough prior to it to not use it as a reason to pass you off. Yeah, that's a tougher one. And I think that would be like very much case by cases, because you'd really need to think about who's talking to you, the timing of it, what type of injury, isn't an injury you can play through and not worry about the long-term ramifications? Or is it something that if you don't tend to it, could lend to you being on the shelf even longer, and then you're zapping, then you're dipping into your development time, which is, you know, that winter period where guys can make huge jumps. So I think that conversation's worth having as a 25 too. Like, I talked to a couple guys recently and, you know, they're a little dinged up from the summer and they don't need to rush back to play this fall. They need to make sure that they're healthy going into the winter so that they can get better. Because if they play in the fall, they get hurt because they were playing hurt and they get hurt worse. And now you can't start your offseason program till mid-December, where for 16-year-olds, that October to December, you know, might be the two most important months from a physical perspective for them to develop. And I would hate to see a kid miss that to try to play two tournaments in a 4-week window.
Yeah, I think the 24 is... You know, if you're 24 and you're hurt, then it's, you know, you're really going to want to rely on the fact that you have enough video to kind of show where you're at and your progressions before you got hurt. And then also have people in your corner to be able to kind of go to bat for you and be like, hey, look, he can do it. And the injury is whatever it is, you know, and The flip side to that is, you know, what does that, you know, kind of rehab look like? Like, can you still be lifting? Can you still be doing, like, you might not be able to be doing certain baseball specific things, but you might be able to still get in the weight room and do some different things to be able to at least get your body into the position that you want it to be when you come back to being able to do, and you're cleared hot for baseball stuff. You know, and that, you know, that there, I think can really, one, lessen the anxiety that you're going to have going through that process of like, yo, I'm hurt and I don't really have a lot of options and whatever it might be. But, you know, I think this is where it becomes vital. And it's, you know, I think Bobby talked about this when we interviewed him, like being like a lot of coaches are, you know, still utilizing video coming out of the pandemic, and you can at least get a feel for where guys are at. So, you know, I think it becomes critical for, you know, players to be able to have video on themselves if this is something that ends up happening, right? Like you never plan for this. It's not something that you actually, you know, want to have happen, obviously. And it's never something that you really plan for. Like, you know, I wasn't planning on blowing out, but if you can have video of yourself that gives you, you know, a clear and concise kind of 5, 6, 7 minute video of like, hey, this is where I'm at. Like, I know it's a little bit longer, but I'm also hurt right now. I just want you to know where I was at before I got hurt. It's not a serious injury, but I'm shut down for the fall. Like, I'm not going to be able to throw. I'm not going to be able to come to camp. You know, I can't do some of the things that I would like to do, but this is where I'm at. And I'm going to be cleared, you know, November 1st to get back into, you know, throwing or running or hitting, whatever it is. And, you know, I know you're shut down. You're not going to be able to see me play, but like, I'm still going to be, you know, I'm going to be in the development realm after that, you know, which I think if you have that piece in your back pocket, and again, it's not something that you ever plan for, but if you have it, it's going to lessen that anxiety a little bit of like, hey, at least I have something I can send people, you know, and likely, you know, if you are recruitable at this point, like people have seen you play. And if you've been in contact with coaches, like it really, it just becomes like, hey, this is where I'm at. Here's my video. Let me know if you need anything. And I will keep you updated on where I am in the process of my rehab and how things are going, which is then going to, you know, one, make the coaches be able to make an informed decision on where you're at. But also it's going to be able to give you that, you know, that sense of comfort of like, okay, I'm doing everything it is that I can possibly do in this process with where I'm currently at physically.
Yeah, I agree. I think the other part of the question that was asked was how to communicate it, right? For me, you don't need to go screaming it from the rooftops, right? Like if you're not getting recruited by a ton of schools and you get hurt, like you don't need to put it on Twitter. Like we got to stop announcing everything on Twitter. Like it's ridiculous, the stuff that's popping up. Like I think I saw, I'm going to go on a tangent here for a second, but we'll circle back here quick. But you see kids announcing what travel teams they're going to play for. Like, get out of here. Like, it's crazy. You don't need to announce it to the whole world, but you need to be honest with the guys that you're communicating with because they're going to ask eventually. Hey, man, when am I going to be able to see you again? Ah, coach, I pulled my hamstring pretty bad. I'm probably going to be out for like a month. All right, no big deal. Like, keep me posted. So you need to be able to communicate it honestly. If it's a severe injury, right? Like if you got to get Tommy John or your labrum or something happened with your knee, you absolutely have to be transparent because you want the coaches to be transparent with you. And I think that some of this stuff goes both ways that, yeah, you don't need to tell him if he's not going to see you play for a couple weeks and you're trying to heal up, you know, a groin injury or, you know, your shoulder flared up and you got a little bit of tendonitis. Like, yeah, you don't need to tell them every little nick and bruise that you have. But if you're injured to the point where it's going to take you off the field for a substantial amount of time or a period of time where you know that that coach was going to be evaluating you, like you were scheduled to go to their camp or you had communicated that you were going to throw in this tournament and all of a sudden you're not going to throw in that tournament. Well, yeah, you got to tell them. You need to be as forthright as you need to be. And I think it's, you know, you don't have to give the every living detail of the medical diagnosis, but you got to tell a coach, hey coach, I'm hanging a little bit. I'm a little bit sore. Like I'm going to probably have to skip a start this week. Right. If it's nothing serious, you don't need to make it sound worse than it is. If it's an injury that's going to have you on the shelf for 6 months, yeah, you need to tell them everything. You need to tell them, hey, this is what happened. This is my plan for recovery. I'm going to be good to go. I'll keep you posted on everything. That's my thought on it. Like, I don't know, I think tell the truth. Like, I just stand by that with everything. Like, there's no reason to fudge it. Like, be honest. Be as honest as you have to be.
Yeah, I don't think that there's anything more than what you just said that you have to do. There's telling what you need and then, you know, leaving it at that. And I think, you know, especially during the recruiting process, when you're talking about all these coaches that you're going to be dealing with, you know, all of them have had their own players have similar, if not the exact same injuries that you have. You know, so there's going to be some familiarity with these types of injuries, and they you know, they're going to have an idea of, you know, how easy or how difficult the rehab road is going to be and what that looks like. You know, but you're right. If it's, you know, hey, I'm sore and I've thrown a ton and I'm going to shut it down for, you know, a weekend just to see if I can, you know, come back the following weekend. Hey, like, I'm sore. I'm skipping a start just to be back on track. Like, just leave it at that. That's fine. Like, that happens in college a lot. Like, you know, guys are going to be sore. They're going to skip bullpens. They're going to skip flat grounds. It's, you know, you might be on a low pitch count later in the season than you'd want to be because you are sore. You know, and like, you know, I had a guy, you know, Ryan Yerby, pitched for Supes and Tatoma last year after playing for me for 5 years. And, you know, every year, his junior, senior, and fifth year, he ended up with this weird forearm type strain. And, you know, after his junior year, he tried to pitch through it and I yelled at him. And after, you know, he was very transparent about it. And what we had to do is we had to skip one, maybe two starts and just rebuild him back up to where he was. And he was fine, you know, but it's those types of things that, like, you know, it wasn't anything serious, but hey, you know, we're going to skip two starts and get you on track over the course of the next 3 weeks to be able to go full go from that point forward. You know, even though he was built up to that point, but, you know, this was going to be a minor setback, you know, so coaches deal with this stuff every year in their own programs with their own players, you know, so, you know, you can give, you know, any of the information you want. Like, they're going to have an idea of what's going on and where they're at, you know, and then they can kind of assess where they are in the recruiting kind of cycle there as to where, you know, what their kind of plan of attack for you, if you're injured, is going to be, you know. And obviously, you know, I think with where we're at with Tommy John and ACL injuries and things like that, like, you know, I don't think there's a whole lot of concern anymore on whether guys are going to be able to come back from Tommy John or from ACLs, things like that, right? Like, a ton of people, you blew your ACL out. Like, you played fine. Like, you had a phenomenal career and you were good. You know, think about how many guys we know that we played with and coached with and, you know, or coached that blew out, you know. And I think Tommy John is a huge thing nowadays, but, you know, it's to the point now where, like, you blow out and it's like, all right, like, the chances of him coming back to where he was, if not a little bit better, are pretty high. So, you know, we'll roll the dice and roll with it. You know, so, and that's, you know, it's just a common thing nowadays, unfortunately. So, you know, and that's a whole other bag of worms that we can open up at a different podcast. But, you know, the data is out there for coaches to not necessarily be super worried about it in the process. So it's just, you know, being honest and telling them where you're at with what's going on, and then kind of letting them make the decision on what they're going to do. And I would say the majority of people are probably still going to recruit you, you know, given where they're at, because they're going to have an idea of what you've been through, because their kids have, you know. And the other side of that is, when you do get into college, you're going to have trainers that are, you know, specifically designed or assigned to your team, that if this is to happen again, you're going to get, you know, hands-on rehab 7 days a week. Whereas, you know, if you do this when you're in high school, like, you might only be on rehab twice a week. You know, so it can be a little bit better when you get to college. If something was to happen, if you have, you know, tendonitis or something flares up again, like, you know, I go back to Yerby again, like, you know, he was rehabbing 7 days a week. You know, that's kind of professional type stuff, right? Like, you don't really get that in the, you know, with your, you know, regular, if you're in high school, like, you're probably going to some outpatient thing for 2 or 3 times a week. Like, you're in college and it happens, like, you're gonna be in a training room 7 days a week rehabbing and coming back better than you were.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, some of the injuries that guys go through, let me touch on this first. You're absolutely right. I do think most coaches have enough awareness to understand that not everybody makes it through a season completely healthy. And a kid having to take a week off or skip a start or skip an outing, the coach who, now there's a little bit of a dichotomy here, but the coach who crosses you off the list because you skip a start, like, you probably don't want to play for that dude anyways. If it's getting to crunch time for them to make decisions on who they're going to offer and you have to skip a start, it might just be bad timing and they might move on because maybe that's the start they need to see and they don't have time to see it. Like, that's a reality of it. Like, once again, there's a lot of nuance here. But most coaches, to your point, I mean, let's be honest, 20 games into a season, right? If you're playing Division I baseball and you got a 56 game regular season, after a month, anybody who plays on a regular basis, they're hurt. It's just how bad. Everybody's sore. Your knees are sore. Your ankle got banged up. You got hit off the wrist. You know, you slid into second and you sprained your finger. It's like, the dudes who play every day, they don't play every day because they're not injured. They play every day because they just play. Like, everybody's nicked up. Everybody's banged up. It's just, it's hard. It's a way more physical sport than people think because they associate physical with contact, but it's the day in, day out that is what gets you in baseball. It's just the nagging, dumb stuff. You dive for a ball in the hole and you land just a little funky on your shoulder. It's not bad enough for you to not play, but you feel like, you feel hurt. You might miss some practice time, like, all that kind of stuff. But the schedule these kids play in the summer is not conducive to it. Mm-mm. We ask 14, 15, 16 year olds, and I'm sure we're going to end up talking about exposure stuff for really young kids. Like, quick disclaimer, if you're 14 and you're worried about exposure, like, you're thinking about the wrong stuff. But you're asking 15, 16, 17 year old kids to play 5 games in 4 days. 6 games in 4 days. Like, that's wild. We don't ask the most fit, prepared, physically mature baseball players to do anything close to that. But we'll ask a 15-year-old to play, they make it out of the winner's bracket down in Georgia, and they got to play 2 games on Tuesday. And if they win those two, then they got to win 2 more on Wednesday just to get to Thursday, where they might have to play another game. Like, it's the industry's fault that some of this happens, because these kids don't have time to lift. They don't have time to take care of their bodies. We're putting them through a ton physically. So I think some of it is being set up by the industry we're in. And I think what I'm trying to get at is that if you're a parent, right, specifically pitchers, you need to speak up and take care of your kids, right? This cadence of, we'll have him throw 2 innings on Friday so he can come back and throw in a game on Sunday, it doesn't work. You're setting your kid up to get injured. And the coaches, it's on them too. It's on these tournaments. But if you're a parent, you have to understand that injuries happen and that the schedule that these kids are put through in the summer has something to do with that. So do what you can to stack the chips in your favor. If your kid throws 5 innings a week, try to set it up so that he has the ability to prepare for those 5 innings accordingly. And that it's not 2 innings on Friday, an inning on Sunday, and then you come back and throw 2 more innings on Monday because coach wants to get out of the consolation bracket or whatever it is. Big leaguers don't do that stuff. College guys don't do that stuff. You're not going to see guys throw 3 times in 4 days. So why would you do it with a 15-year-old? just because he falls under the pitch count limit or whatever. Sorry, I digress. But
no, you're right. You know, I mean, think about from a college standpoint, like the only time that you're really going to play 5 games in 3 days is really when you get into the conference tournament. Like, you're not doing that during the season. Like, you know, you might play 4 in 3 days if you go like single Friday, double Saturday, single Sunday on the front part of the year. You know, and I know some conferences do that. You know, when I was at RPI for a while, we did that. But like, you know, you manage your schedule based off of that, right? Like, you're not, you know, we're not playing a ton of midweek games and then also coming over and playing 4 games on the weekends where we're playing 7-8 times during the week. Like, we're at most, we're playing 5. You know, and you manage it that way. And the difference, again, the difference also when we're talking college and the recruiting circuit is, you know, when I was at RPI, like, we had 14, 15, 16 arms. Like, we can handle a lot of games because we have the amount of arms to be able to do it. You know, you don't have 14, 15, 16 arms on these summer teams. You know, the big ones do, like, they'll fly guys in and they'll do that because that's what they do. But like, the vast majority of them don't, you know, so we're loading, you know, we're the load that people have, these kids have on their arms is just not conducive to being able to have success for a long time. And you know, that it's a, again, I'm opening up a giant can of worms with this, but you know, you go back to the original thing is when, you know, if you're hurt, like, you're like, you should get checked out and figure out where you're at. The, you know, you're right. When you play in college, like, if you play a lot, like, you're going to be dinged up. Like, you know, I can't remember a year in the 4 years I was in college where like something didn't hurt or I, you know, had something like, you know, I'll digress here. I remember Feeney and I fouled balls off our leg in the same game and we went in the next morning and Trish rubbed it out and he screamed. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do this right now. Like, this just like, and I have pretty high pain tolerance. I was like, this looks terrible. You know, but like, it's, you know, like, you're slow the next day. Like, you have a giant welt on your arm, on your leg, and I have to go catch 9 innings, if not more, you know? And I remember I slid into the backstop and my knee ballooned and I ended up with one of those giant compression wraps on my knee just to catch the back half of the game that we had to cut off after, cause my knee was so big. You know, and then it's a super slow progression during the week to be able to get back ready for, you know, the following weekend. You know, so like, you're right, you're going to get dinged up, but you know, there's a difference in being hurt and being injured. Like, you're going to have to, you know, play through some of those injuries, but you know, if you're hurt, you got to shut it down, because especially if you're young, things are going to start piling up, which is going to make it worse in the long run. You know, like, you're like, you know, you should shut down at some point in time when you're a younger kid. Like, you should get away from baseball. You should not pick up a ball and, you know, long toss and be on 12 months out of the year, right? Like, you know, you get to college, like, you're going to be in shutdown periods where you're not really throwing a whole lot, you know, and same thing with, you know, at the younger ages, like, you should, you know, not be taking lessons in November and December and throwing 60, 70, 80 pitches in an hour long lesson when you're not throwing for another, you know, 6, 7, 8 months. Like, shut down, get better. You know, you want to work on some things, like, yeah, that's fine. Go do that. Work on some things, work on your development, but you shouldn't be throwing bullpens every, you know, every Tuesday night getting a lesson just because that's what you want to do. Like, you know, go in, do something different, you know, work on your development in that time. And that, like, working on your development, I think, gets confused with having to throw bullpens and do all these things year round. And then we end up, you know, during your recruitable year, injured and not able to do anything because we haven't shut down in 3, 4, or 5 years because we are looking for those types of things, whether it's exposure or scholarships or whatever. And, you know, we've touched on this in here, like, the vast majority of baseball scholarships are going to be partial. Like, you're not really going to get full rides. So, you know, it's in your best interest to be able to, like, manage your body and your workload as you get older so that you can stay healthy for as long as you possibly can.
The the best ability oftentimes is availability. So, I mean, I think probably close this one out with how you take care of your body is going to put you in a better position to stay healthy. So if you're, you know, if you're 15, 16, 17 years old, like you feel invincible, you do. But if you really want to get recruited and playing college baseball is really important to you, you need to be available for coaches to evaluate you. And a good way to maximize the probability that you are going to get seen is to be healthy. So taking care of your body, lifting during your high school season to maintain the strength that you got during the offseason, lifting during the summer season, preparing for games properly. You know, don't, if you're a pitcher, go through your routine. Don't rush your warm up, right? If they tell you you got 15 minutes to get loose and it tells, and you need 20, tell them, hey, I need 20 minutes to get loose. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Like sometimes you got to push back. You don't need to rush to this stuff. Make sure you're prepared. So try to stack the chips in your favor the best you can so you don't have to play through an injury. And if they happen, you know, hopefully they don't affect you in the recruiting process. Timing's a huge piece of it, but I think that it can be overcome, especially if it's early in the process that you may have to reprove yourself. But if you've already got a little bit of a rapport with a coach, I don't think it's going to be the reason that guys go in a different direction from a recruiting perspective. So
no,
anything else you want to add, coach?
Just be honest with it. You know, I'll hammer this home. Like, I think this is also why it's important to have video so that you can at least showcase your skill set with that. You know, and when we talk about video, it, like, you want quality video where people can actually see what it is that you're capable of doing. You know, not a video from center field of you hitting. Like I can't see anything. You know, kind of get up close and personal and show, be able to have the ability to show where you're at so that you have, you know, that kind of showcase type thing that you can send to coaches if this is to happen. Again, it's not like you don't plan for it, but you're better off having a little bit of a contingency plan if something like this is to happen. And you have to shut down for a little bit so that you're good to go there. And I agree. If you have a rapport with the coach and stuff, like, I don't think it's going to, you know, ultimately shift things one way or the other. You know, I think you're going to, especially if you're younger, you know, coaches are going to be able to get out and see you, and there's going to be spots available, you know, a lot longer and later in the process than they have been in the past. So it's not going to be, you know, the worst thing in the world if this does happen.
Agreed. Well, coach, we are going to close it out on that. So I want to say to the listeners, if you're watching on YouTube, what are we going to do, coach?
Smash it. Smash that button.
Smash the like and subscribe button, if you don't mind. Show some support to us two fellas. You can follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, at EMD Baseball. And if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, please go ahead and subscribe. Spread the word. Anybody who's listening, thank you. And we'll talk to you next week.